Joel Ostrow joins us again on WGN Radio. He's a Russian affairs expert and professor over at Benedictine University. Joel, thanks for joining us. How have you been?
I've been well, John. Good to be on with you again.
What's your reaction to what you've heard Steve and I discuss or to the press conference today?
Well, my students would be familiar with the question that I ask, and that is, what truths does our president hold to be self-evident? Among the many lies that he's been called out upon, on January 20 of 2017, he took a vow to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's the only oath that's specified in the Constitution, but all officials must swear an oath before becoming officials of the United States government, and they are sworn by statute to preserve and protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By extension, the president is obligated to defend the country against all enemies, foreign. But on this trip, our friends have become our foes, and our foes, as has been the case throughout Trump's presidency, have become his friends. I don't say our friends. They've become his friends.
What do you make of his answer when asked, who do you trust, U.S. intelligence, or who do you trust, Vladimir Putin?
I truly believe he trusts Vladimir Putin. He has authoritarian tendencies, Trump does, and authoritarian leaders tend to stand together. His friends are Putin, Kim Jong-un, and the like. He has praised Erdogan of Turkey. He likes Viktor Orban of Hungary. His friends are authoritarians, and those who are committed to the values of liberty, equality, freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of association.
What would a satisfactory answer have sounded like to you? So he's asked that question by the Associated Press reporter. Thank God that guy got a chance to ask that question. That was on everybody's mind. It's like the guy is right there. Call him on it. We weren't there for the two-hour meeting, so here in public, just call him on it. President Trump, just say, it's terrible that the Russians meddled with our election. He didn't do that, right?
He did not do that. You know, this president, so there were many analyses before this meeting took place that the United States ought to be in a position of strength relative to Russia. And what that means was, if we had a competent president from either party, this is not a partisan thing, from either party, the United States should be in a strong position in relation to Russia right now. But this president is not. And the only right thing for him to have done would have been to take the advice of his Secretary of Defense, of his Chief of Staff, of his other intelligence and security advisors, and not held this meeting in the first place, because he was not going to do the United States of America any good by meeting with Putin at this time.
So after Rosenstein's,
he should not have met.
After Rosenstein's indictments come down, then
correct,
they should have canceled the meeting.
Canceled them. So, yeah, I mean, he was being warned against doing this in the first place by Mattis and Kelly in particular. But he insisted on going through with it. Certainly after the indictment, he had to cancel it.
Okay,
but
hold
he didn't.
On. Let me throw in a couple of listener questions. Joe,
sure.
You're on WGN Radio. Joe, what's your question or comment? Hi.
Hi, John. I just wanted to ask, well, first of all, I think Putin had or Trump had that meeting by themselves so that no witnesses were going to be there. Secondly, I can't understand that he's going through all these motions, saying what he's doing and aligning himself with all these dictators and not being, why isn't treason coming up against him?
Joel, what's your reaction to that? Is that hyperbolic?
Not entirely. For the first part of it, at every summit, a true summit between U.S. and, well, then Soviet and now Russian leaders, there have been one-on-one meetings with translators. But in the context of and subordinate to wider meetings that included the heads of state with advisors in real negotiations and substantive discussions. And those one-on-one sessions have been brief and at times as ways to, after having log jams have been identified, to see if there was a way that they could come up with ideas to break through those log jams, which they would then bring back to their experts.
Right.
And so the caller is correctly right. Joe was right that this was the summit, which is why, you know, was it really a summit? Whatever. This was the summit. It was all about this one-on-one meeting. And perhaps he didn't want witnesses. More than likely, he didn't want his experts there because his experts are experts, and they didn't want him to hold this in the first place.
Okay, then what about this? Joe, thank you for the call and the question. Donna, you're on WGN. What was your question? Donna, hi.
Hi. We have a theory that when he was affiliated with his beauty pageant in Russia several years ago, that maybe he was caught in a compromising position. Maybe somebody in Russia has something on Trump, and that's why he keeps talking about Trump as his friend and Trump will be able to do something. I believe that he could be being blackmailed or something is going on between Putin and Trump that's illegal with all of his business dealings. Something is going on. There's no reason why this man should have a meeting for 2 hours without any witnesses other than the translator.
Okay, that's an interesting question, Donna. And actually, that question was posed to the two of them. Let's do this. I'm going to pause. We'll come back and play the question and answer that Donna just asked as it was put to Putin and Trump. And Joel, you can comment next on WGN.
Joe, he was asked specifically that. Somebody said to Vladimir Putin, do you have any specific compromising information about the president? And he did not answer that question.
Well, he said that he had no idea he was in town, that there were a lot of other businessmen in town.
And there was 500 business people in town.
And when Putin, I mean, and Trump just sort of didn't register.
Right. Well, but and I get that. I mean, that makes sense. Donald Trump is not even a candidate when this allegedly happens, right? And so, and there's 500 guys in town, so Putin and Trump aren't colluding or talking at the time. He didn't even know that he was there, right, Steve?
Yeah, but I suspect, I mean, your guests can say this more clearly, if there are people of influence, the Russian apparatus is aware of them and is watching them.
Well, and it doesn't mean that something didn't happen and they aren't able to use it later. I mean, the fact that Putin didn't know Trump at the time doesn't mean that afterwards Putin didn't find out that they have some compromising information about Donald Trump. To be honest with you, this all sounds kind of fictional to me anyway. But Joel, what's your thought about all of that?
All right. So there's 2 points here. First of all, there's that dossier held lots of compromising information about then candidate Trump. You don't have to go to the pee-pee tape to need compromising information. So that's number one. But number two, both Putin's response and kind of this whole conversation entirely missed the point. Donna asked about, you know, whether there was some comprehensive information that Putin is lording over Trump. Putin doesn't need that. That's not the game he plays. When he came to power in 2000, I published an article, or I wrote it, maybe I don't know when it was published, in which I described Putin then accurately as a former KGB hack. He was a mid-level agent. He's obviously a much more important figure at this time, but he plays on the same tools that he learned and mastered as that mid-level KGB agent. Namely, he identifies chaos, instability, or insecurity around the world, and in the classic Soviet playbook, finds ways to increase that chaos or instability if it's in the Western democracies with the purpose of gaining Russian influence. He's not a genius. He's not a puppet master controlling all the strings. He doesn't know what kind of advantage Russia will necessarily get from a situation when the opportunity plays. He's an opportunist who identifies and uses the tools at his country's disposal, which are quite vast, to increase the chaos and disorder in the hopes that Russia can then gain advantage. Because by destabilizing or weakening the democracies, the alliance, our trading bloc, Russia stands to benefit.
Joel Ostrow
in Putin's eyes.
Political science professor and an expert on Russia at Benedictine University. I want to play one more soundbite for you.
Sure.
And, LF, let's go with cut three. This is a question to Vladimir Putin. He was asked, why should Americans trust you?
For President Putin, if I could follow up as well. Why should Americans and why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? And will you consider extraditing the 12 Russian officials that were indicted last week by a U.S. grand jury?
Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. But as you know, the whole concept of that came up perhaps a little bit before, but it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which, frankly, they should have been able to win because the Electoral College is much more advantageous for Democrats, as you know, than it is to Republicans. We won the Electoral College by a lot, 306 to 223, I believe.
Actually, he got that number wrong, too. But isn't that interesting? So,
yep.
So Trump is asked, why should we trust Putin? And he said he won the Electoral College. And by the way, he got the numbers wrong. What a bizarre answer to that question.
It's worse than bizarre. Getting back to the point I was making earlier about the sowing of disorder, that is what Trump does. And he sows disorder, which plays to the advantage of Russia, which is why the former director of the CIA, John Brennan, overtly called Trump's statements and actions treasonous, rising to and exceeding the level of high crimes and misdemeanors.
Why couldn't Donald Trump have said, I do trust the U.S. intelligence. I do believe they meddled. Here's the distinction. Meddling and collusion are not the same thing. Yes, the Russians meddled. No, I didn't know about it. I didn't cooperate. I did not collude. It would be very easy. And wow, would he have scored a home run with the planet if he had said the Russians meddled and he turned to him and said, don't ever do that again. You want sanctions. You've never seen sanctions like you're going to get. But he doesn't even approach that. He doesn't tippy-toe around it. He strides with Putin on it. I don't understand why Donald Trump didn't make the distinction between meddling and collusion.
Which is why the serious people in his cabinet cringe every time he speaks. You know, it's not just Brennan. It's not just people who served under Democratic presidents. Michael Hayden, who served as National Security Agency director under George W. Bush, and many Republicans have come out slamming Donald Trump for his words and his actions. He is playing into Putin's hands, but again, not just Putin, but really the desires of all authoritarians and dictators. It seems to be who he stands with in his attacks on a free press and on individual journalists, even to the point where one could ask whether he incites to violence.
Poli-sci professor, you know, at Benedictine University and Russia expert Joel Ostrow. Joel, I'm out of time. This isn't the last time we'll visit, probably this week, certainly next. Thanks for your time and expertise today.
Anytime, John.
That's Joel Ostrow over at Benedictine U.